Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome, everyone, to the Denali Abroad podcast, where we talk about anything and everything Denali Kiev related. I'm back, your host, Alex Lishik, and joining us from across the pond is Dima. How's it going, Dima?
Not doing bad, personally. You know, Dynamo game coming up. One can only hope that the performance won't be as bad as it was last time out. But yeah, how are you guys?
I'm not doing too bad. And joining us from the not quite as good side of the Hudson River is Eric. How's it going, Eric?
I'd argue the much better side of the Hudson River. But yeah, going well. A little nervous about the match tomorrow. Yeah, looking forward to this episode.
Yeah, there seems to be a lot of, like, not, I guess, intrigue, since Dynamo are practically playing the reserve team tomorrow night against Inchorno-Moritz. Unless you've been living under a rock, yes, you've heard me right. Inchorno-Moritz is practically Dynamo's reserve team. We're going to start off with some latest news. A current Dynamo player and an ex-Dynamo player celebrated birthdays in the past couple of days. Tsigankov turned 24 on November 15th, and Zozulia turned 32 on the 17th of November. So happy birthday to those guys. Dynamo U19s continue winning ways with an 8-0 drubbing of Chornomorets U19s. Dynamo could play Politehnica Iași if they go to Turkey for winter break, a very famous Romanian side who are favorites for the Champions League this year. So, I'm just kidding. They're a second tier side, probably some Luchescu connection somewhere. Also, just wanted to add this before we get to the next rumor about an outgoing transfer, is that Shevchenko, you know, ex-Dynamo player and Ukrainian football legend, took over Genoa. And Mykolenko has been rumored to Genoa. And Eric, what else you want to add on to the potential transfer out?
Yeah, probably not going to happen. So Shevchenko came out, and for those who are unaware, and this is actually a daily complaint that I get from Dima when he's playing Football Manager about the non-EU rule. He's nodding along. Normally what happens is Dima starts a save, encounters the non-EU rule, and a day later he's onto a different save.
Now, do you know what happened? I bought Derlis Gonzalez. Yes, that Derlis Gonzalez for Elas Verona. So it was going to have two ex-Dynamo players from that team. And I couldn't register him because that stupid rule.
Because you already had two, right?
Huh?
There were already two in the squad. Two non-EU players in the squad.
However many there were, it didn't let me register their list.
So. Yeah, so I believe it's two. So there's, in Syria, each team's allowed to have two non-EU players registered. Obviously, Ukraine being a non-EU team. So, you know, Shevchenko basically came out and said, you know, even if I wanted to sign Mykolenko, we couldn't right now because we already have two. I'm not sure who they are, but Genoa already has two non-EU players. So, I mean, I know he's been linked with several Italian sides, Inter, Milan in the past. Now, Inter and Milan in the past, and then now Genoa. I think it's unlikely that he leaves in the winter. But if it is something that Shevchenko is serious about, he'd have to wait until the summer and then look to offload one of those non-EU players.
So this I just pulled up Genoa's Transfermarkt profile, and there's four players on here six players who are not EU citizens or do not have, looks like, some kind of secondary citizenship from an EU country. Because I believe Serbia is not in the
EU. Isn't it something like you're not allowed to register more than two in one transfer window or two?
Oh, maybe that's what. Maybe, like
maybe that. That's what it is.
Yeah,
I think it was something like that.
That sounds right.
Yeah. Either way,
either way, he's not going to be able to move based upon that rule.
And plus, what's the likelihood of Genoa really spending $17 million on a player like that? I don't even know what their highest, like, was it, their largest signing of all time is. The most they, so this year alone, they spent around $8 million. So I don't know if they're going to be willing to spend $17 on one player when they just spent $8 practically on four players. But on to some other news. Igor Tsiganek was saying that Dinamo are looking to sell Superyaga outright, and Dnipro Odin may be an option. They're not looking at loaning him to Chorto Moretz. Surely this has got to go through at some point, him being sold. Deep, any thoughts?
I mean, it could just, I wouldn't be surprised if he just sits around until his contract expires whenever in the next, when does his contract expire?
Checking right now.
Probably like 2024 or 2025.
I want to, yeah, 20, December 25.
Yeah. I mean, obviously he was linked with Italy in the past. There were some talks about him being loaned to Chorto Moretz, but Dinamo are not interested in loaning him. They want to sell him outright. And like Alex just said, or like you just said, Alex, according to Tsiganek, Dnipro Odin is a more realistic destination than Chorto Moretz, because like I said, they're not looking to loan him. They're looking to sell him outright. So
would you sell him to Metalist?
See, I don't like selling him in, okay, it's a tough one, right? Because at the end of the day, like, it is not working for him at Dinamo, and, yep, and we need to just offload him. However, I don't really want to sell him to another team in the UPL, because the last thing that I want is to, especially to a rival,
yep,
and then him come back to haunt us. I mean, we saw what happened, and, you know, we'll get into this a little bit more when we talk about the loan situation at Chorto Moretz, with all of them being able to play against us. But that's the last thing that we need, is him going to somewhere else in the league and scoring hat tricks against us and taking points, yeah, away.
See, my only concern, if it's to like a team like Dnipro Odin, Vorskla, whatever, is I think the worst case scenario is that he just plays well against us. I don't think that's really going to power like Dnipro to become, and I don't think that's going to really power Dnipro, because unless Dnipro are planning on a huge spending spree over the next year to really drastically improve that team, they're not really going to be challenging for the title. My only concern is going to a team like Metalist. That is,
I mean, if I had to choose between Dnipro Odin and Metalist, it would definitely be Dnipro Odin.
Yeah, because don't know what the spending power.
He can't score an open goal. What does that mean? Doesn't matter whether he goes to Bayern Munich or Metalist.
They'll bring him on for a penalty shootout.
I'd love for him to go to Bayern.
They'll bring him off for a penalty shootout, Dima.
Yeah. Yeah.
That he can do.
I bet they'd love for him to come as well.
No, but my only thing is like, I'm kind of on the same page as you, Eric, but like, I don't want to sell him to a title rival, that to a team that actually is going to be good. And obviously, Metalist aren't in the Premier League yet. But I'm just saying, with the financial, the financial resources that your buddy has, what's his name?
Yaroslavsky.
Yeah. Like, you already know he could spend $30 million on a window, bribe someone, and it all gets written off, and it's no FIFA financial fair play issues. You know what I'm saying? So, like, that's why I'm like, I'd rather just sell to Dnipro.
Still won't win anything.
No, I don't. See, I don't want to. It's one thing if we're unable to resolve it, and this would still be bad business at the end of the day. If we're unable to resolve something and sell him, contract expires, and then he ends up going to, you know, for example, Metalist. But to sell him, I don't know, in any way, shape, or form, I'm never going to be forced selling them to a rival, ever.
Because, no, like, my thing is, like, with Dnipro Odin, like, I don't even consider them a rival. They're just, like, they're just a mid-table side. That's all they are. They haven't proved anything else. But, like, my only concern with the Metalist, maybe we could sell him to Krivas. Maybe he'll have fun with at the new stadium they're building there. But on that note, Dinamo play Chorto Moretz tomorrow. And how many Dinamo players are at Chorto Moretz? About 35, 36?
I counted 16.
16? Jesus. All of them are eligible to play under what we've heard, I believe, was Luchescu's initiative. He wanted the kids to play, which I'm absolutely all for. I think, first of all, that's fair play, because probably the best Chorto Moretz players are.
See, I've actually seen people say that they're not a fan of this. I mean...
But I think if it's Luchescu's, right, if you're trying to evaluate how good these players are, it's the best way to do to see if these players can actually play. How do they stack up against Dinamo?
I mean, I'd rather them play than, you know, have like, you know, when Shakhtar play Mariupol and they have like, Mariupol have about one senior player in the starting lineup, a bunch of under nines or whoever.
Yeah.
You know, on the, and on the bench, you know, you again, one senior player, you know, the team bus driver, the Mariupol janitor, the whatever.
They bring in some guys from Zaporizhia to play.
You know, whatever, like whoever they have. I mean, yeah. I mean, I think it's better to just let them play. But
And I mean, listen, like, it's just one more game to help them develop. Like, you know, who's probably going to play? Skorko will probably play. Bilovar will probably play. Tsitashvili, Vanat, probably Isayenko will play at some point.
Yeah, it's nice to see Vanat as well. I mean, seriously, like, we shipped out Vanat, but Coolidge is good enough. Well, great, you know.
But, like, my only thing is like, I think if we want to see if these guys have some future, because we could probably, oh, by the way, Vanat's not playing tomorrow. He's suspended.
I'm not that excited to see him then.
but like we've always talked about, you know, for example, Tsitashvili is, I think, a great example of this, where everyone sees that there's a player in there somewhere, but why not, how does he perform against Dinamo as some kind of basis to whether or not he would go on the winter break camp, for example, you know?
Don't really rate him that highly, but yeah, I mean,
I still think it's a good thing for these players because
I do get what you're saying.
Like I'm not saying Luchescu is going to focus on Chorva Moretz, but practically for all of these kids, pretty much, it's an open trial in front of Luchescu. That's what it is. It's a trial.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
Eric, any thoughts on that?
I mean, I understand the opposing viewpoint too, because then it's putting us in the position of shooting ourselves in the foot, literally, with being points taken away from. Sorry, I just sprayed my cat. With being points taken away from us in the title race, and I mean, if that happens at the, you know, utilizing our own youth players, I mean, that would kind of suck, but. Ultimately, yeah, I mean, it's his initiative. I'm in favor of it. I mean, they deserve a chance. And I mean, at the same time, if our first team can't beat basically our reserve team or our, you know, people who are being judged as not being good enough to be in our own first team right now, what does that say?
Well, I think it's actually, there's something, even if Dinamo win, but Chorna Marts really make this a good game. It's a close game, closer than it should be. I think there's actually some hidden benefit in that what we've kind of been saying for the past couple weeks, that a lot of the squad is not good enough, and instead of, you know, someone like Andre, but more recently, like people like, for example, Depena, you know, let's say if Depena has a stinker, but let's see who's a winger besides Tsitashvili, like, or Tsitashvili has a blinder, or whoever is the starting defensive midfielder, whether it's, you know, Andreevsky or Shepelia, but then Mikhailenko has an amazing match, then you could make yours a, hey, listen, so we don't need to be bringing in these kind of middle rate Ukrainian players or players from outside of Ukraine when we have already players who can compete with them, who are 18, 19, 20 already in our academy.
So, yeah. Yeah.
Do you guys want to have give a prediction for the game? How about a preferred
player? I mean, so which do you want, the preferred lineup or the prediction?
You give me the prediction first, and then we'll go to the preferred lineup.
I mean, I think we'll win because I just think we'll win. But it's difficult to predict because you just never know. Are they going to finally, you know, change their attitude and start, you know, actually, you know, concentrating, battling the whole 90 minutes? If so, then we win. If not, well, you know, anything can happen.
This is the preferred lineup I'm thinking. This is the problem with preferred lineups. I never know if I want to go with what I would do or what Luchescu is going to do.
I'm guarantee you we're going to be playing three right backs.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, or because Mikolenko's out. Zabarny kind of is out. What's his name? Zabarny Popov is out. So then you've got in the center as your center backs, Shabanov and Sirota. We're not playing two left-footed center backs.
No.
So it's probably going to be something like Dimchik as right back. Kenziora and I don't know who he's probably Sirota in the middle, yeah. And then Karavayev as the left back.
Now, I mean, Kenziora isn't the worst at centre back. I mean, he reads the game.
His technique
is abysmal, but he can read the game pretty well at least.
Yeah, I mean, we've already seen that, I think, at least once this year, if not multiple times. So I would imagine that they're probably going to put Kenziora in, pair him as center back with someone like Sirota.
Would you guys have given Anton Bull his debut tomorrow?
I mean, it sounds good, but on paper, like, you
probably
know.
Probably not.
Because I think over the winter break, 100%, no questions asked, I'd give, you know, Bull, Nishariet, you know, Diallo, Voloshin, Sarenko, Prashko, all these players, I'd give them a chance to, you know, start to integrate them into the first team. But I think for now, I think we've just got to, you know, tolerate this crap for a bit longer. And then
would you at least have him on the bench?
Yeah, I'd have. I don't understand. I don't see anything wrong with having him on the bench. I
mean, for this match, for sure. Bench, yeah.
What are the odds that you think Tsarenko plays tomorrow? Or at least is involved somehow.
I think he actually picks up a small injury. So I think
because I just noticed he was on the team. He wasn't in the team today for the U19. So I was just wondering if.
Yeah, I think he's got a small knock or something like that. So.
So, goalkeeper, fuck it. Let's just do what we would want. Nesterin to start.
Yeah, but I always wanted to start. But yeah, of course, for this game, I wanted to start as well.
Back four, we'll just go with Eric said. Timchik, Kionzora, Sirota, Karavayev. Midfield three, who do you start at defensive midfield?
Oh, Jesus.
Xavi, Iniesta, and Garmash? Midfield of dreams, that.
No, I'm not. No, they're crap. They don't deserve to play. I mean, Garmash, apart from Garmash, he can play. But I mean, our hands are kind of tied here, aren't they?
Well, it would be great if we could play someone like Brashko, but he played 90 minutes today.
I mean, it's going to have to be Shepardyev and Andriyevsky.
It's going to have to be, isn't it?
We could play... Oh, no. Better idea. No. Better idea. Listen, hear me out. So he plays two left-footed center backs, and Kionzora starts a defensive midfield.
Oh, no. I remember when... Oh, no.
That's not going to happen, but would be interesting.
No, but yeah, I think it's just
going to be... playing defensive midfield is one of the more random events, that's for sure.
Is that one for the out of context enamel page, Jima?
Maybe. We'll have to see if I can find a clip of something like that, because does anyone remember Shabanov playing the midfield in a friendly? Now that was something as well.
Kucherov playing striker?
Oh! I've got to find that. Yes, thank you for reminding me. I've got to find that. The perfect post.
So Xavi, Iniesta, and High Tech in the midfield. Front three. Verbić, Vitinho, Tsigankov.
Verbić. Who's striker?
Vitinho.
No, Verbić for me. I think he's been
Hold on. Isn't he hurt?
I think he's injured anyway.
Just picked up a knock on international duty.
So we'll start Antuk on the left.
God, no. I'd start Lednev on the right.
No. Not him either. He was appalling against... No, I'd just go with... Oh, God. Our hands really old. Might as well
start. Actually, you know... No. I would go Tsigankov on the right, Vitinho on the left, and Ramirez through the middle.
No, not Ramirez. Oh, mate, all these players are so shit. They've all been absolutely appalling. Like, there's no one I'd even... No one, in my opinion, deserves to start. I'm just going through all these names. They've all been so bad recently. And what are we going to do? Reward them? No. Well, and again, our hands are tied.
Well, I was about to say, because if we don't...
Some of them have to play, or we are nine men or something.
Yeah, so I was going to say, we're going to have to probably forfeit the game at that point if we're not going to play any of these guys.
I'd play Skurin up top.
Would you?
Oh, God.
Yep.
No, just none of them. Just none of them seem to have anything about them as players. Well, when was the last time he played, actually, Skurin? I haven't seen it. I swear he started.
I think it was the match where he got taken off at halftime.
Hold on. When was
that against?
That was fairly recent.
I thought it was like a couple matches ago.
That was before the Mariupol.
I don't think I've seen him for a long time now, to be fair.
He's played somewhat recently.
Can I say 73 is an absolutely appalling number to choose if you're a striker? What kind of a number is 73?
Was it against Dnipro he played? No.
No,
he's not. I just checked the lineup back in. That's the game where Shepeliev and Andreevsky started in the midfield.
Jesus.
It's been a while.
Yeah.
When did he last play? I haven't seen him in a long time, Shkuri.
Last time he played was the Shakhtar draw. He came out for the last 4 minutes and he played the last half hour against.
Oh, great. Well, you know.
The game he came off at halftime was Alexandria.
Yeah. And he played 28. So the most he's actually played is 77 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
All season. It's a bit of a strange policy, to be honest. You know, he plays a half, plays well, gets an assist, taken off at halftime. That's the same thing. Really understand that.
Yeah, because he had his debut was against Desna. He had three assists in back-to-back games. Then he gets subbed off at halftime against Alexandria, and then he just doesn't start the next two games after that.
What's working against him. I mean, I'm not going to argue the fact that he doesn't have the best striker's instincts, but at the same time, it's like he goes out, he doesn't even do half bad, and then he gets taken off at halftime, and he doesn't play the full match, and then doesn't come back in for God only knows how. Like, it just makes no sense.
Listen, I'm not gonna hide the fact that I don't rate him and I don't think he's phenomenal quality. But I mean, if he gets assists, you know, sort of semi regularly, well, at least surely he can at least be an option against these sides.
You figure like players.
I'd start him. Yeah, I think, you know, now that I think about it, I'd probably start him.
Absolutely.
But the thing is also that you have to look at it from this perspective. Like, apparently Supriaga was good enough to get the starts against Ruk and Barcelona.
Against a Barcelona under 10.
No, but my point is like, Shkurin has three in a row and is practically frozen out. And Supriaga hasn't done anything for a year. And Luchesco, hey, you're playing. He's like, wait, what? I'm playing? Like, he was probably even shocked that he got called up for that game.
Yeah, some of Luchesco's decisions, I'm sorry to say, they make absolutely zero sense to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Eric, you wanted to add something?
No, I was going to say a couple of things on like the Trojan Moritz preview, and I think we talked about this already, but Zabarny, Shaparenko, and Sidorchuk are all ineligible due to an accumulation of yellows. And then I believe actually Vitinho is one yellow away from suspension.
No idea. I like how he has more yellows. He's got contributions.
Yeah, which is great. So right now, Trojan Moritz are sitting in 11th with a goal average of 16-4, 29 allowed. So compared to teams below, this is interesting. Compared to teams that are below them, the teams that are below them have scored no more than 9 goals. So they score a fair amount, but their defense is horrible. So like, I watched a little bit of the match against Ruch, and they were up 3-0, and they almost bottled a 3-0
lead. Yeah.
Ruch came back and tied it 3-3, and then they scored in like the 80 something minute to win 4-3.
Did Tajuli play well that day? Did he not?
He did. Yeah, he did have a good match. And then they have another left winger, Artur.
Armenian guy.
He's got 4 goals and an assist, so he's one third of their basically of all their goal participation. So he's pretty heavily involved. So they won again 4-3 over Ruch, drew 0-0 with Vorskla, the team that we were unable to beat. And then they drew 1-1 with Lviv. You know, they've got some good pace on the wings. So several of the goals that I watched just came from direct balls out of the back, which again is a pretty typical mid-table or lower table tactic in the UPL. So we need to make sure that we're preventing their defenders and their center backs, especially from playing, giving them time to play direct balls out
Absolutely,
of the back.
Yeah.
But you know, really the notes that I just had from the match against Ruch was basically two terrible teams that are horrible defensively. Squaring off against each other. I mean, like Dima said, this should be a match that we win. I could see us scoring several goals just because, again, they've allowed 29 goals. So, you know, they score a fair amount, but they're very leaky defensively.
Yeah.
You know, I could see us winning this match like 3-1.
Yeah, I mean,
like, it's at the Lobanovsky too.
Which listen, whenever we play at the Lobanovsky, okay, yeah, we technically the Olympiacs are home same, but I feel always a little bit more more prideful about the Lobanovsky. I think it's fair to say.
That stadium is ours, like
yeah,
through and through. It is. I mean, I still consider the Olympiacy to be ours, but like the Lobanovsky is ours.
Problem with the Olympiacy is like, have you ever felt like a home field advantage at the Olympiacy?
Once.
Let me guess, Everton.
Actually, then twice. The Shakhtar game in 2013, I thought that atmosphere was class, actually. When Yarmolenko scored like 5 minutes in the game. The 2-1 loss.
Oh, yeah. Oh, now. I was going to say, do you mean 2014 when we actually won? Yeah, now I get what you mean. But like, too often it's just like we could play at any stadium in Ukraine and it would just be like more or less the same. I think the atmosphere. I think the fans have been pretty shocking lately, to be honest with you.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, listen, we're not saying the club have, you know, covered themselves in glory, but the fans also a little bit of a look at themselves as well here.
I agree.
The Lobanovsky to the Olimpijski, as Dinamo will take on Bayern Munich next Tuesday.
You want to know something about this match? I have. So I did a fair amount of research for the Chorna Moritz match, you know, stats, basically everything that I went over. I have one bullet point for the match against Bayern, and it just says, God help us. That is literally all
if,
I have on this.
If we get a result against Bayern Munich, wow, that would be something.
If we get a result against Bayern Munich, I would sack all the players because they can get a result against Bayern Munich but struggle to beat Mariupol.
Well, just keep in mind too, the last match we made predictions on what the final score would be, and I said 5-0, and it was 5-0. Now.
So make a proper score prediction this time.
I don't know if this one will quite be 5-0, maybe a little bit of a different atmosphere for them playing at the Olimpijski compared to the Allianz, but I guarantee you it's at least going to be 3.
I mean, I did hear Bayern are going to rotate their squad a lot.
Oh, great. Yeah. Great.
So I think we have a good chance at losing 2 or 3-0 instead of 5-0.
I mean, the Bayern B team would still win the UPL.
The Bayern B team would probably win the Champions League.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not like that's good news for us or anything like that.
And also, it would make sense that Bayern rotate their lineup too, because they have a huge Bundesliga fixture next Saturday
against
Arminia Bielefeld, who are in the relegation zone of the Bundesliga.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Mainz.
They're playing they're playing Augsburg on Saturday.
They're gonna win 8-6 in that game.
It's actually funny you say because they're playing Augsburg tomorrow.
Oh, there we go. We should rename our podcast to the Augsburg Abroad Podcast.
The 8-6 podcast.
_S. Oh, that's beautiful. Seriously, I honestly don't have anything on this Bayern. I mean, it's just like, what can you say?
I'm going to DM Lewandowski if he scores 3 goals, if he'd come on the show.
Oh, yeah.
He might not even play.
He didn't play for Poland on their game on Tuesday, which is technically...
They might go with, what's his name? The guy that came from PSG. Chupomoting. Yeah.
He's a massive meme. Well, he'd score against us, like Brathwaite did last season against.
Listen, he may be a meme, but his agent—he's got to have one of the best agents out there. Like,
yeah,
that guy.
Yeah.
Like the contract with not even the contracts, the clubs he gets these contracts out are just. But yeah, so on that note, don't know if there's really much more.
Has he played in Russia before? I feel like he's the kind of player to go to Russia.
You know, but if he was at some really random team. Like
Thiago Silva did.
Well, yeah, but Dinamo Moscow
literally just to earn some money. I bet you that would. I could definitely imagine him in Russia.
You mean like later in his career or something like that? Or like, what do you mean?
I feel like he's already been because he's had a
lot of children. I don't think he has.
He hasn't.
Hamburg, then he was on loan to Nuremberg. Then he spent.
He's been in such random clubs. Like, he's just the kind of guy. Like
Hamburg, Nuremberg, Dima's team, Schalke, Stoke, PSG, Bayern.
Wow, PSG and then Bayern to finish that out.
The most goals he scored at a club is 20 goals in 74 appearances over three seasons at Mainz.
Oh, Jesus. Wow. Could be worse.
Could be missing open goals like our strikers.
I mean, I'm telling you what, for this match, I know that I've said this about 100 times, but this is even more so a match that I would just say, just go for it.
Oh, yeah.
There's literally nothing to lose. It's Bayern Munich.
Don't even play with defenders. Just go for it.
I mean, yeah, we're probably going to lose anyway. So, I mean, if we're going to lose, you might as well lose. But, you know, give it a go. That's...
Yeah.
Bus isn't going to work.
No.
That's all.
I guarantee you that's what he does, though.
The only thing I want to say...
It's good. That's what's going to happen.
The only thing I want to say in terms of like a preferred lineup is like from what I think the only thing I would recommend for him to do is start Garmash over Bujalski just because like Dima said mentioned at one point like boy it's been a while since Bujalski's been really involved in like good play and actually Garmash has been actually one of Dinamo's best players this season.
Well, yeah, he's been the informed player, you know.
No, he's been
like it or not.
Play two strikers. You know what I mean? Like, they play four at the back, so try and give their center back. Maybe make one of them drop deep to try and draw a center back out or something like that, and then play an attacking midfielder, like, in the hole right behind him that could try and exploit that space.
Sorry,
I don't know, like...
Are you thinking, like a 4-4-2 kind of diamond type thing?
I mean, it could be a 4-4-2. You could do a 4-3-1-2.
4-3 because I honestly I would have no problems if he let's say took out like one or two of the wingers, like if he dropped Depenna and Tsigankov and added like let's say Garmash and Vitinho to play with Ramirez, kind of like a two strikers and a number 10. Yeah. I don't think that would honestly make that big of a difference. I really don't think it would.
I totally. I mean, use like literally go with three strikers, play with two up top, and then a shadow striker sitting behind him, and just try and overload those central defenders. I mean, like I said, just try something. Just try something.
Not this
4-2-3-1 or 4-3-3. Sit back, park the bus,
watch,
do
watch,
nothing.
Watch how is it parking the bus when? How is it parking the bus when they literally slice through us half the time? Like you know. Like a bagel or something. Like how is? I don't really see how that's parking the bus.
Listen, I'm just impressed that you know what a bagel.
I know
what
you're
all the way in England.
Point is, though.
I said I didn't know. Have you had a bagel before, Dima? They have those in England.
Why would we not have bagels?
I don't know. I didn't know if that was like a just an American thing or not.
I mean,
he looks confused.
Why would it be? Of course I'm confused. Why would bagels be an only in America?
I don't know because I've been to Europe like six times and I've never seen a bagel anywhere.
No, we definitely have them here, mate. Bagel. Where's a bagel from? It's from Poland.
Yeah, but
Jewish communities of Poland.
Yeah, but like
Germany, okay. Israel.
Yeah, but like they weren't called bagels. They're called something else. Like that's my only thing. Anyway, you know what?
Yeah, probably. Yeah, yeah, I think we're getting a bit distracted here, to be honest with you.
Actually, you know what? I think I would rather talk about bagels than Dinamo about to play Bayern.
Probably I'd rather watch, you know, bagels being cooked than Dinamo Bayern the way it's going to go.
I actually had a bagel this morning for breakfast.
Great. Thanks for the information.
What did you have on
this? Did you do any sit-ups, Eric?
I did do my sit-ups, yep. it was blueberry cream cheese. It was really good.
Oh. There's a good place by me that has like unreal breakfast sandwiches. Hashtag.
Yeah, there's a place right across the street from me that has the same. There was a place actually in Brooklyn that I used to live by that had some of the most amazing breakfast sandwiches. Absolutely outstanding. Yeah. But the thing is, they put so much cream cheese on it that like it's like a little bit of bagel with your cream cheese, like a ridiculous amount of cream cheese.
See, that's why I like the place I like to go to. I just get a bagel with butter, or I get one of their breakfast sandwiches with like they put like fried egg, hash brown, some pork roll on there.
Delightful. Oh, delightful.
I think I might go get one tomorrow morning, actually, now that I'm thinking about
it. Well, if you ever come to New York City, like you've been supposed to for several months, I mean, we could go get breakfast sandwiches near me.
And if you ever come out to Jersey, we'll get the breakfast sandwiches by me.
But what is there to do in Jersey? Like, this is New York City. Like, what am I going to do in Jersey?
Hunting. We can go hunting.
We could go, okay, perfect. Perfect. Sit-ups. That's right. I would have more space to do sit-ups. I can't complain with that.
What else could we do? There's Ukrainian bars in this area, so we could do that.
And there's Ukrainian village in downtown. No, here's the better question. What could we do in Reading?
I'm freely admitting I don't even live there anymore. But there is
what can we do in Southampton? What can we do in Southampton?
Again, nothing. The clubs are pretty crap here. I mean, you're a club, you probably collapse in the club like 5 minutes in, to be fair. So maybe the club's not a viable option. I'll have to see what kind of other activities
there are. I could teach you a thing or two about what to do in the club, young man.
I don't even like the sound of that, and I don't even want to know what you mean.
Can I just say one thing in Reading's defense? I Googled top 10 things to do in Reading, and the first three things that popped up were parks.
I was going to say something else, but it's not appropriate for the pod.
No, less of that. What are the parks? What ones have come up?
Antoshka Park. But Basildon Park, Peel Park, and Wellington County Park.
What the hell are those?
I don't know. Well, these looks pretty good, actually.
Right, I think we've got a bit distracted.
But you know what? Because you're right. Because you know what?
Eric's just left. we're not gonna read this one out. But
but you know what? Though you're right, Kima. We are getting distracted because instead of saying what's the best things to do in Reading or Jersey, what's the best things to do in Kiev? I think that's a little bit better.
Lisovo Massive, just Lisovo Station in general around that kind of area. And that's the best. Mate, you won't get bored in Kiev anytime soon. That's the good thing.
Yeah. So unless you guys have anywhere else that we need to be checking TripAdvisor for what's the best things to do in those areas, I think that's going to bring it to an end to our show. Dima, if anyone wants to get into contact with you, how can they do that?
Yeah, it's... I can't even bother to think of a funny joke that isn't funny today. It's just 1927, Dima.
Eric, if someone wants to get in contact with you, how could they do that?
At Lubovich.
And if you want to get in contact with me, your host, you can find me on Twitter at Lyshyk7. That's LYSZYK and the number 7. If you want to get into contact with the show, you can find us on Twitter at Dynamo Abroad. DMs are open. And if you want to send us an email, you can do that to dynamoabroadpodcast@gmail.com. Well, from everyone here at Dynamo Abroad, thanks for listening, and we will see you next time.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.